Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, world, wherever you may be reaching us from. Welcome to COVID-19 Heroes. As part of our twice-a-week broadcasts, when Collins Teke permits us to have a half hour to do this, I'm not alone. I do it Mondays and Wednesdays with my twin brother from another mother. His name is Weba Boa. Hello, Weba. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Femi. I mean, it's clear who got the looks from the twins, right?
Yes, so you. Lovely. No, well,
and normally on radio, nobody can see us, right? But now they can actually see us.
Yeah, they can actually see us. And I was just wondering, man, your pandemic look, which is totally different. It's looking neater today. Did you trim it?
I actually put in some beard oil this time. I'm actually getting organized with my COVID beard. Yeah.
Fantastic. So welcome to the show. On this show, we scan the globe. And I mean globally and locally, in search of the heroes of a dangerous, heartbreaking period. The coronavirus has wreaked, well, indescribable havoc across the world. But even in the midst of this crisis, some people are becoming superstars and heroes in doing everything they can to get us help. And these are the people Weba and I have been showcasing twice every week for the last couple of weeks. And today we have another amazing hero. Weba, do us the honor.
All right. Yeah. Good morning. So, Dr. Ige, thank you so much for coming on today. Listeners in Lagos and all over the world, we have a great guest today, Dr. Fahintola Ige. She's a research fellow from the Nigerian Institute for Medical Research in Igbobi, Lagos. And she is really on the front lines. She's involved in the testing that we all hear about. And so we're going to learn about that today. So, Dr. Ige, thank you so much for coming on.
Good morning, Weba. Good morning, Femi. It's good to be here this morning.
Good morning to you. And let me just help Weba a little bit. It's Fahintola, right?
Femi is always trying to show me up.
Well, I think you're doing very well, Dr. Weba.
Thank you.
You are trying. You're actually trying. Okay, let's go.
Give me a plateau name and I'll be fine. Okay, so Dr. Ige, so what we'd like to ask you for the first question today is the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. I only learned about it, you know, when this pandemic broke out. But tell us about it. I mean, in normal circumstances, what does the Institute do and what do you do at the Institute as a research fellow?
Okay, so good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, Weba and Femi again. My name is Fahintola Ige. Okay, so typically at NIMA, when there is no epidemic like COVID, we do routine research into diseases of public health importance for Nigeria. Things like hepatitis, HIV, Lassa fever. So those are our kind of normal routine testing that we do. And we try to do research into those kind of diseases and also raise public awareness of some kind of health issues that could help people stay healthier and then try to find solutions to common health problems.
Okay.
So that's the Nigeria.
So how is...
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Weba. Go ahead.
So and then now, you know, NIMR has now been repurposed for this period. And so how did that happen? Is that something that automatically kicks in because you're a government institution, or did you and the team there make the decision, look, we need to adjust and focus on what's going on now? And what is the role now of NIMR in your response?
Okay, so when Corona came around, I think the whole world had to take notice. Nobody was allowed to do any other thing. I'm sure you know that even your life had to stop. So NIMA had little or no choice but to ensure that Nigerians were protected from the ravaging scourge. So before COVID, there is a viral surveillance team in NIMA that looks into the environment and tries to ensure that we are on top of any viral outbreak and game. So we were kind of sort of preparing for an outbreak because that's what researchers do. So we had a viral surveillance team, and then we were already researching into something close, which was Lassa. And then we had all our kits and reagents already ready. And then COVID came around December last year. So in the research world, we already knew about COVID since December. So we were primed and primed for testing in case they ever came to Nigeria. So yes, and with the support of the Director General and a lot of other senior colleagues, we were all ready for the testing and we were prepped since December, January, even before we had the first case in Nigeria.
So, I mean, you know, at a time when most of the accusations have been on the lack of readiness, and I'm not just talking Nigeria, I'm talking globally, I'm talking the big nations like the USA, the lack of preparedness, even when there was talk about even an absence of stockpiles of PPE and all these things. Let's come now. So first and foremost, I'm proud that your institute had been prepping for this. So it's finally here. The coronavirus is here. And we're talking about COVID testing on the front lines. Tell us, please, how does this COVID testing work? What is the science behind it? And where are you guys? Where's your team getting the equipment and other materials that you need for this testing?
Okay, so when you talk about the readiness, I want to address that a little bit, okay? So I think the world was quite ready for an epidemic, but nobody thought about the scale of which COVID was going to come. So the WHO and anybody didn't imagine that every single nation in the world would have to be responding to a global pandemic, which is where everybody was caught unaware. But testing routinely and trying to find out what's happening in your lab, I think everybody was ready to do that. But the scale it came upon the health system and the level of infection and the wild spread of the virus was something that nobody was quite ready for. Nobody knew it was going to reach Weber's village in just, you know. You would think that a virus coming from Wuhan in China was going to go all the way and reach Plateau State in just. Okay, so nobody was ready for a virus that was going to go that far and that fast. Okay, so in Naima, for COVID testing, we have a drive-through center. Okay, so this is like other models in the world, where people come in their car and then they drive through and then there's very little contact between the testers and the people in the car. So this is an opportunity to reduce infection and then protect healthcare workers and also the clients driving into the drive-through. So the drive-through was actually made possible by a lot of private partnership and collaboration with a lot of donors. Nigerians came forward and they came tremendously. They brought out, you know, we only had to provide the space and the expertise. They came with the test kits, they came with the PPEs, and we were fully supported to be able to implement a drive-through program. So how does the testing go? So you need to register online, because you can imagine a situation where the old Lagos is trying to come into a drive-through center, and then the infection we are trying to stop is going to be right at the center. So which is why a pre-registration is necessary before you come. So you are invited to come, and then you can come and give your sample in the drive-through center. So which is one of the ways we get people tested for COVID. Another way is that there are other sample collection sites in Lagos, and then Lagos State Government also gets these samples down to Naima and some other testing labs in Lagos.
Okay, and then the science behind it. I mean, so someone takes a swab or whatever it is, and then it's your labs that now do the testing and come back with the result. Like how is your lab set up? Did it have to be, you know, changed to accommodate this, or you already had the equipment? And then also, how long does it take for someone to find out?
Okay, so the technology behind testing for COVID is called a PCR technique. That's polymerase chain reaction. So which is something routinely we had the capacity to do before. So PCR testing is already done for HIV, it's done for hepatitis B, hepatitis C. So we have the platform to test for a molecular assay such as COVID. So the sample, you come to the drive-thru or your sample is sent over to Naima, and then the kind of sample for COVID is a nasal or throat swab. So there's a kind of swab stick that goes to the back of your nose or deep into your throat, and then the sample is taken and transported to the lab. So, well, in the lab, the first thing we do is to extract the DNA, the RNA from COVID. So COVID is an RNA virus. So the first kind of testing that happens is called a viral RNA extraction. So when the virus is extracted, it's now taken to another machine called a real-time PCR machine and then the virus sorts of like multiply into millions of copies in the machine. So the copies, I'm sure you can imagine how tiny a virus is. So the PCR allows multiple cycles of multiplication of the virus until a level where it's detectable. So if you were infected, for instance, then we'll be able to detect the virus through the PCR technique. And if there was no viral there, no matter the amount of multiplication, you'd still get a negative result. So concerning so people that come first, you pre-register, you are invited, you come to the drive-thru, which is one way of entrance. Another way is that you go to a sample collection site in Lagos, and your sample is collected and transported to the testing lab. So when we finish with the RNA extraction and the real-time PCR techniques in a molecular assay, then your result is sent to you by email. So while testing, while registration is going on, you would have provided us with your email address. So when the result is out, because we want very limited contact with anybody at this time, then your result goes back to you to your email address.
So you've already packed like three questions in one there in that answer. But for a little bit of clarity, so somebody just jumped in on this show right now, not sure, hasn't heard much, and all he's thinking about is, I need to go do a test. Can they just show up? What's the process, for clarity's sakes?
Okay, so you can't show up and do a test, because I'm sure that all over the world, everybody's heard about the shortage of testing. So we need to ensure that the test is geared towards people that need it first, before everybody jumps on board. Okay, so NCDC, which is the coordinating body for COVID in Nigeria, they are responsible for any emergency outbreak. They have a testing criteria. So you need to have to fulfill all the aspects of the testing criteria before you are allowed to give a sample. So they keep updating the testing criteria based on the phase of an infection. You know, there was a time where the people that were allowed to test were people that just came into Nigeria because we knew the disease was imported as at that time. So you had to have had the travel history, or you should have come in from a region that most people were positive and you would have been showing symptoms before your sample would be taken. But as the disease moved on and became like into the community, and then we had community transfer, and then everybody, the case definition for testing had to change again. So the testing criteria is updated every few times for people to know who is eligible for testing. So if you are not eligible for testing, you should be socially responsible not to try to jump on board, because everywhere in the world, from the United States to the United Kingdom to even China, testing is a challenge. So people that need it need to get to it first.
Okay, and so in Lagos, so there's the drive-through center that you have, and then just so people know, what are the other places that people can go to get tested, if they meet the symptoms and all that?
Okay, so I think in every local government in Lagos State there is a sample collection site. So in Ikeja, there's one in Mushi, in Etiosa, anywhere in Lagos. So if you go to the Lagos State Twitter handle, you'll find a list of all the sample collection and testing sites in Lagos. So you can walk there, and if you meet the testing criteria, you'll be allowed to give a sample. So I think every single local government in Lagos, about 20 sites, you can go there and get your sample collected.
So, and what about someone who, you know, you talked about emails and Twitter and all that. I mean, there are still a lot of Lagosians who aren't online in any way. How do they find out, and how do they get registered and tested if they feel they have the symptoms?
So even on radio, I'm sure Femi knows about this. There are jingles every time to tell people about what they should look out for and how they can go tested. So there are jingles for you to know. And the drive-through center has a slight modification, which allows for a walk-through. So as long as you're able to register, you don't need to drive through in a car, because we realize that a lot of Nigerians might not be able to come around testing in a car. So there's also a facility that is assigned in this drive-through for people to be able to walk in through the center. So we have social distancing. We have this 1 to 2 meter spaced out walking mats on the floor. So you can actually register in for a walk-through for the testing.
Okay, so testing is still relatively limited in Lagos. True or false? Or maybe I should take out relatively. Well, it's still limited, right?
in Lagos, okay, nationally, all over Nigeria, we've done about 36,800 testing, which compared to the population is very, very limited. But again, if you want to compare it to where it is needed, as in, because some places in Nigeria, the incidence of COVID is really very low. So for Lagos, I think that we have a lot of support. We have the highest cases in Lagos, but the support in Lagos is also good. We have some private partnership, like people that came and then gifted NIMA with the drive-through center, and then they also support with the testing. And NCDC also has a lot of kits getting to the labs for testing. Yeah, I think we are still far behind in testing, but there is a lot of improvement in recent times. Nationally, we have about 26 testing sites so far, and we started from about 3. So you can imagine, and it takes a lot to set up a PCR lab. So imagine that we had just about 3 to 4 PCR labs all over Nigeria less than 2 months ago. And then within some 60 days or less, we've been able to move from 3 or 4 to about 25 or 26. So yes, testing is still very limited, but I think the response is picking up.
Okay, so
this is...
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to follow on that point. You mentioned how many new labs there are, which I think is great news, and I think it tells you something about the Nigerian spirit that we're all coming together to conquer this thing. But are these labs now that will they remain when the pandemic is sort of slowed down, so that in future we have all of this in place even before it comes? Or will these now go away, be closed down, and then we're back to just the 4 so that we need to ramp up again in future?
Okay, so Dr. Weber, I would say that to set up a PCR lab is a lot of money. You need to buy a lot of equipment. So I don't think the equipment should go anywhere, even if COVID goes away. So the equipment has still going to be in those labs. And then you need to build the capacity for people to be able to use it. So I don't think anybody will lose their training. So they still have the skills they acquired while COVID was around. So those labs, I think, would be sustainable with a little support. So people are already trained and they are capable of running molecular assays, and then the equipments are there. So the problem will probably just be the reagents. So once the reagents are able to come into those labs, I think they'll be quite functional.
So we've been able to test like, what, 0.001% of the population, something of that sort. It's like, you know, it's scary. So,
you need to remember that we say that not everybody's eligible for testing. Do you think you are eligible for testing? Tell me.
Actually, I was going to ask that question.
Look at the positive.
I was going to ask.
Positive. You're being so negative.
You know, I was going to ask that question. What am I to look for to determine that, look, I must go for that testing? Is there a demographic that you prioritize? Maybe age, demography. What if I started feeling feverish, or, you know, I started sneezing? Is that enough for me to panic and find my way, or try to get NIMA by all means? Or will I even be attended to?
Again, there's a testing criteria for people to get tested. And it's updated from time to time on the NCDC platform. So NCDC would look at the community cases, look at the infection and the dynamics, and update a criteria for testing. So I think right now, if you have a cough or fever accompanied with sore throat, headache, loss of smell or taste, body pain, and a host of other things, which is on the website, and then you really know somebody that had a confirmed COVID infection, then you might decide that you're eligible for testing. So as I said, testing is free and it's online. So, but you need to judge whether you are eligible for testing. And you also need to be socially responsible to be able to fill in the truth, because as I said, testing is limited. So you don't want to take away the test from somebody that truly, truly needs it. Okay, so in other parts of the world, the population highest in this infection is elderly people. But if you look at the population in Lagos that typically moves around, we have a younger population in Lagos. So most of the elderly people, probably they are still in just with Dr. Weaver, but most of the people in Lagos fall between, you know, it's a younger population. So yes, the people who are much older are at a higher risk. as evidenced by every other country in the world that reported people dying from people that were really old. But looks as if the Nigerian population is lucky because it's a younger population. So we have more people in Nigeria between 18 to like 55 than more people. So that's not to say that if you have all of these symptoms and you are elderly, you should really, really, really go for testing. Mm. You should try it all you can. And NCDC also has some numbers for you to call in and then tell somebody, speak to somebody and request for a test.
So then if you do take the test and the test comes out positive, what are the protocols that happen? Like, what happens next? I mean, how are you informed of this?
Okay, so let me speak for NIMA. So let's assume we have a client that did a prior registration, was given access to come, invite to come to the drive-thru, and you have all your information filled in online. Let's take that as a scenario. Okay, so you come and then you give your sample. Your sample goes to the lab. So we try to ensure that the results are out within 24 hours. Okay, so then you need to add some few other hours for the people that will get to attach everyone to the email and send it out to everybody. So NIMA does not see the patient except the day they take the sample. So your result is going back to you via your email. So I think that you should have prepared yourself for any kind of result because you filled the form, you came to the center. So hopefully you'll be able to go. So now another thing that happens is that a positive result also goes to the Lagos State EOC. EOC is the Emergency Operations Center, which is manned by Lagos State and some NCDC officials. So every single positive result from the lab goes also to the NCDC and Lagos State Command Center. So from there, the other protocol of quarantine, isolation, treatment is started at that point. So the testing labs just get the samples, do a PCR molecular assay and send out the results. So in NIMA, your result will go to you via your email and then a positive result will go to the EOC Lagos Command Center.
So I'm going to ask this.
And then they'll come and look for you?
Yeah.
They'll come and look for you or what happens? I mean, or you have to go report? What goes on? I mean, what if someone is positive and we know that and then they just stay home?
Okay, so you have all your details filled in. You have your phone number, you have your house address. Then you have then when you come to the center, there are surveillance officers that speak to you from your car. So you give the details like how many people live in your house, where do you live, your phone number. Okay, and so remember that you really want your results. So I don't think most of the phone numbers are wrong. So NCDC and the Lagos State Command Center has access to your phone number and your email address, so they can follow up with a positive result.
All right. You are probably aware that there's been a lot of campaign on social media and a lot of distrust. It's a global phenomenon. In Nigeria, hashtags have been trending in the last 2 days, some even calling this whole thing a scam. And people need reassurances. And you guys are in the front lines. You are seeing these things. You are seeing real life cases. Some people are even complaining that they are not even seeing patients. And then there are videos all over social media of patients playing football in the isolation centers, some assaulting, dancing in the isolation centers. And people are portraying this as more or less like, maybe this thing isn't real, it's made up. Here's an opportunity to reassure the audience. What would you say to these people who think, this is all a joke, or perhaps it's not as serious as we think, as we say it is?
Okay, so COVID-19 is very real. I work in the laboratory. I see people and I see their result. I see a positive result. So I can tell you that COVID-19 is very real. Mm. So when you see somebody that has COVID-19 and is asymptomatic, those are the people that will probably still be able to play football. Mm. And so, you know, most of the young people will really be asymptomatic. So you can manage the case mildly, but very few of us are going to fall very ill and some people will die. So if you look at the numbers, some people are dying. While majority of the cases are asymptomatic, we have the problem is who is going to die. Hmm. So which is why we are trying to stop the infection. You don't know whether you are just that unlucky fellow that will just get a very bad case of COVID-19 and then maybe you have some underlying diseases. Hmm. Because if you have COVID, it's actually worse for you. If you had other complications like hypertension, diabetes and some other complications you didn't even know about. Mm. So then we can't really tell who's going to fall very, very sick from COVID and will need a lot of care. And then we can't tell who will be asymptomatic. So which makes people a bit skeptical about it. But yeah, COVID is real. Some people have it very bad. I'm sure people saw what happened in Italy. In Italy, so many people died. In the UK, people are dying. In Nigeria, we have, I think, about 191 people dead already. So yes, COVID-19 is real. Is very real. And I think people with the hashtag, I don't see it at my testing center. There's so many people trying to test. So for as much as some people that say it's not real, we have so many other people that know that this virus is very real and they are really trying to get tested and they are out there. Yeah. So I would tell people that, yeah, you need to be careful. You need to take all of it quite seriously. COVID-19 is real. This is not the way Nigeria was last year. You know, the economy was working. So if you've not even seen somebody that is sick from COVID, just look around you. Everywhere is on lockdown. So you would know that something serious is about.
Interesting. We've run out of time. I know, Weber, you have one final question, right?
Yes, I do. And this is all about the heroes part of this. I mean, you mentioned, you know, that you're in the lab, you're seeing all this stuff firsthand. And I know that you probably have all sorts of, you know, PPE or protected. You try and keep a distance as much as you can. But in the end, you're still every day going to a place where you could be exposed to something very dangerous and all that. And what motivates you and your team members to get out of bed every day and go there and do this and protecting us, actually, and taking that risk? Like, what is the motivation? How do you do that?
Oh, well, when we all decided to become scientists, medics, and nurses, nobody thought something like COVID was going to come around. It's pretty, pretty challenging. Okay, so if you work in the health services, you see patients, you test, you do all of these things. It is you need to be able to respond, because then you've been trained to be able to do that. Over time, we've had a lot of training and I would say drills, so we are quite ready. And PPEs work. When we use them well, they really protect. And we just need to, so it's just like a soldier that sees a war and then decides to back up. I mean, what kind of soldier are you? So yes, a lot of healthcare professionals were trained to fight infectious disease. And then this is a clarion call, as I would say. So it's really very challenging. We have people amongst us who are mothers of 5 children. We have some who are sickle cell anemic and they still show up. So you will be moved to come to work, because you can see all of these other people and everybody is responding and everybody's on the front line. To be sincere, we thought COVID was going to be contained just like Ebola was. So initially everybody was quite excited to report to work and then just to quickly stamp out these men. But it looks as if it's going to take much more than that.